Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 148, Miniature Wargaming the Movie with Joseph Pittington. So as you might guess, whether you are a new or a longtime listener alike, we have a very special guest in this episode. So before I go any further, I want to make sure that you know that you can get to the show notes for this episode by visiting wargamingrecon.com/WR148. And the reason why I say that is we're going to talk about all sorts of things and we'll have links and stuff. It's hard to remember all of that. You might be at the gym or painting or commuting to or from work. You're not going to remember all these web addresses. Just remember the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR148. And that'll have all the stuff that we talk about here today. So without further ado, I want to welcome our very, very special guest. He's director of this amazing documentary. I am, of course, referring to Joe Pittington. Joe, how are you today?
Yeah, very well. Thank you very much for having me, John.
I am so very excited for this time to chat with you. I was made aware, actually, of your project because of a friend of the show, Mr. Henry Hyde. He had put something up on social media, and it was this new, like, headshot of him, and he's trying to pose himself just right, and I'm trying to think, what is he doing? Does he have a new book coming out? No, like, I think I would have known about that. Is he going to be in a movie or no, that doesn't make any sense. He doesn't do that. And then next day he says, well, I'm attached to this project. It was really cool.
Yeah, I've been working with Henry on this film, so I'll let you tell your audience a bit more, and then I'll take it away and, you know, tell you more about the documentary.
Sure. So I know some of you who are listening or watching live, because we do record these episodes live, you might not have seen how Miniature Wargaming the Movie has exploded over social media for those of us who are in the wargaming hobby. It has. Everyone is talking about it. Everyone from Wargames Illustrated, Miniature Wargames Magazine with Battle Games, WSNS, everyone from GW on down has something to say about this. And mostly it's that they're excited about this project. And when I had first seen it, I thought, okay, so there's going to be a documentary and I want to learn more about it. And all the information was directing towards this website, which I got to say, it's beautifully designed and very easy to navigate. And I was able to tell there's going to be some sort of Kickstarter about it and some way to raise money. And eventually I was able to get to a link for the Kickstarter. And then I was blown away by what I saw, because it not only is the Kickstarter project, you can tell how well it's thought out and devised, but you have all sorts of really wonderfully talented people who are going to appear and just really interesting things that you want to do with this project. And so immediately I wanted to know more about you and about what you were doing with this and why, because after all these years of wargaming, it's been around, you know, since before the 70s, yeah. That, like, why hasn't this been done before now? And of course it has to be something you're passionate about too, because otherwise why would you want to choose it as a subject? But why don't you tell us just about this and why and how did you get into it?
Yeah, well, all those questions that you just asked yourself, they're kind of the questions I asked myself when we decided to make a feature film about miniature wargaming. I kind of fell into it, to be honest. I've been in miniature wargaming for years, 15 odd years, if not longer now. I remember, like most people, getting into wargaming, walking down the streets, looking through a shop window and seeing a few models and pandering at my parents to buy them so I could go and paint. And I've always had that kind of niche to, or kind of, I've wanted to be involved in the industry from a very, very young age. So go down a few years, obviously you fall out of, you know, in and out with life, because of the industry and stuff. So, but I fell back in love with it, a year or so ago, if not longer. And it started about being a small documentary, a 10-minute documentary that was going to follow going to a painting competition. And it was a miniature painting competition. So one of my friends who works in kind of this industry as well, he approached me and said, look, I want to do more documentary stuff. And I said, well, why don't you make a little documentary about going to this painting competition? So we contacted the people that were running it, and we basically said, hey, would you mind if we came filmed the tournament and stuff? And the more we spoke to them about it, they were just like, well, why don't you speak to someone else and maybe get some interviews about kind of pro painters and get like their side of the industry? And it's just kind of snowballed. And when I look back now, it's just been a massive progression. And when I did a bit more research into it, I just couldn't believe that no one's ever made a documentary or any real feature that hasn't been written article about this industry before. And it's huge, and it's millions of people play it all around the world. So the more digging I did into it and the more people I spoke to, and speaking to Henry Hyde was, as you said, was kind of one of the big factors for me. And he told me about his book that he wrote, and he sent me a copy of his book, and I read through it, and that was the thing. We were like, right, we're going to make this into a proper feature film. We're going to get a proper crew involved. It's not going to be, you know, a small 10-minute video, because there is so much here, and this story people need to know. And I'm passionate about, and I wanted to tell the story. And I knew that I could tackle this from my point of view that isn't, because all the other videos and small things that you've seen, there's a purpose behind it. So it's normally another company doing it to promote their stuff, but it's never been tackled from a passionate person's point of view that is just, let's just highlight the whole industry, what's amazing about it, the history, the companies involved, exclusive interviews. So that's kind of how it started, and what it's become today is, a 90-minute feature film documentary about this amazing hobby that is miniature wargaming.
One of the things that really drew me to your project in the documentary was, the more I read about it, the more that it was clear that it is an unbiased approach to it. And whether or not a bias is positive or negative is not something I'm going to get into, but some of people who are in the hobby, some hobbyists have been concerned over the years with some of the companies more and more, say, buying up the magazines and controlling some of the information sources to it. And on one hand, I think it's great, because then you're able to get that inside look at what those companies are doing. Games Workshop's magazine, White Dwarf, for example, is something that when I was first getting into wargaming, I went with GW for stuff, and I loved being able to read in their magazine about all the inside stuff that you wouldn't be able to get if it was necessarily apart from everything, because they can just say, oh, we want so-and-so in-house to talk about this. And yet, I know people were really concerned when War Games Illustrated was purchased by Battlefront, and when it became like an arm of that, although, I mean, it is separate to a certain degree. But I also like how you have that independent approach to things. You look at something like Battle Games Magazine, which is through Henry's new role in Miniature War Games Magazine, kind of merged with it. So you get that completely independent view of things, and being able to kind of look at it from both ways is great. But I think that there would probably not be as much excitement and positive reaction to what you're working on here if it was, we are 100% sponsored by companies A, B, C, and D, and we're going to talk about what they do in here, and not so much as, this is what it's like coming from a hobbyist who's into wargaming.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know and haven't seen the project, I'll give you a brief kind of synopsis of what the film's about. So Miniature Wargaming Movie is going to be a 90-minute long documentary film that will have exclusive interviews with people like Rick Priestley, that you'll know from 40K, and he's also worked for a lot of other companies, done his own thing. We've also got Mike and Lan Perry, that are two amazing sculptors. Probably that, for me, meeting them was kind of but we'll go into that later on. So we've got the sculptors, we've got the game designers, and then we've got loads of different people. We've got like Paul and John from Warlord, And we wanted to approach it from, like you said, the angle is to try to cover as much as possible. So we have interviews with people from Warlord Games. We have Hawk, Guild Ball, obviously War Games Illustrated, and so many more. We've also got Outlaw Miniatures, that's obviously an American company that do Wild West Exodus and also Battle Foam. So we've also got that. We've also got Foreground we're going to cover for the terrain side. So we're going to be doing an overview of the industry. So that's kind of, so we have all these amazing exclusive interviews. And the other part, the film's broken into four sections really. So you have exclusive interviews and then you have the history. So we're going to be covering with Henry where this came from, how it's evolved to what it is today, and also in the past 10 years, how it's kind of evolved and transformed from more of a, there's a lot more, I don't know how to word this, not commercial, but you have a lot of franchises and IPs being picked up, for example, like Alien vs. Predator, Judge Dredd, DC Comics, Star Wars, all these things have now, and that's kind of developed in the last 10 years. So we're also going to be covering that in the history of how it's kind of evolved. And then we wanted to show the hobby side and the tournament side. And I've approached this after many conversations with people from different companies that it's very boring. And I'm sure all war gamers know too, it's not very interesting to watch people roll dice for half an hour. So I've approached this by following two rookie gamers basically competing their first ever tournament. So we follow them preparing for the tournament. So they prepare together, they do the painting, they try lists out, and then they go on the road and they go to one of the UK's largest gaming events and then they compete at the tournament. And so we're covering the hobby side of that. And also the other thing I want to cover is the kind of pro painter side. And also how the internet has kind of changed. So things like Kickstarter coming over. So people like Guild Ball wouldn't even exist if it weren't for things like Kickstarter and communities, how they've been built because of the internet. So all these things are going to be jam packed into a 90-minute film. And we're going to try to cover as much and as in depth as possible.
There's just so much there. It sounds as if there's enough content for you to be able to do like a mini series, really, that you could do multiple 90-minute films just about it. And I can't imagine how much work it takes just for the 90-minute film. I mean, these episodes of Wargaming Recon are about an hour long, depending on who I have on as a guest. Some people enjoy speaking longer than others. And I know what work it takes for me to do with that, just as you know, a hobbyist podcaster. This is not what I do for my real job, or not how I pay the bills necessarily. But I mean, I've been doing this since 06 and just talking about something I love. And so knowing how, what I do with this and what you and your team will have to do to make it look so polished and professional. And cause it is, it's something not only that you're passionate about, but you're creating a real valuable end product that I think is going to be something that people will be able to get and look at from years now and just say, oh, look at this. This actually tells the story of what we love. And I love how you're actually not just going to talk about the history and talk about the different companies involved with it, but that you're really going to do that storytelling aspect with those two new to wargaming and what their tale is as they are trying to reach their goal.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the other things that I haven't mentioned yet is Warlord Games have also given us exclusive access to document their whole process. So that's another thing, because obviously a lot of people don't see what goes into bringing these games to your tabletops. And Warlord has been amazing. We've sat down, we're going to basically cover the whole process from concept art all the way through manufacturing to the end product. So that is kind of really exciting, because you get to see, you know, artists coming up with the ideas, then sculpting them and then putting them together, and how they, you know, how these little miniatures are made. And we're also going to be doing 3-ups, so how plastics also made now, because it's obviously a completely different process. So that's really exciting, and that's something I really think a lot of wargamers would be really interested in, as well as all the other stuff. But I'm trying to get in there, you know, we're trying to cover as much. So if you're an old school gamer, we're going to be having, you know, we're going to be talking to Henry and other people about that are from the old school gaming. But if you're a new school gamer, we have companies like Guild Ball. And if you just want to know about the process, and if you're just interested in the story and seeing two guys' journeys, we've got it all in there. So, or if you just want to see some interviews, so we're covering as much as possible.
So you've mentioned some of the people who will be interview subjects on it. You mentioned, and I know we'll talk more about them later on, but who are some of the people who you're going to have on to interview, but you haven't made public yet? Anyone you want to announce or you can announce at this point?
That hasn't been public. So the thing, our website's up at the moment. So everyone that's on the website at the moment, there is a few other people, but not that we can. We are still in talks with other people, and I wouldn't want to obviously make it public just in case it didn't happen. So, but yeah, we have on the website, I think we've got maybe 12 people on there at the moment. And that's obviously the Perrys, Rick Priestley, John Stallard, Paul Sawyer, Henry Hyde. And then we also have, Rich from, Guild Ball. And then I'm just trying to think who else we've got. We've got so many other people. We obviously will be interviewing Hawk. They're not on there yet. Who else? We are in talks with a company in Spain, and I'm sure if I say that, people will know the company. But that's as much as I can give away. So that will be an exclusive interview. And also we'll be interviewing people at Outlaw Miniatures, so we'll be coming over to the States to cover stateside as well. So this really isn't kind of international thing, and that's where we get to with the Kickstarter.
So at the in the Kickstarter video, you mentioned that you've actually spent a lot of time on this project already, but that the Kickstarter's kind of help ramp it up to the next level. What are some of the things that you've already done and some of the specific areas that you're really hoping the Kickstarter will help you to accomplish?
Yeah, so at the moment we've already started filming. This process has been going, it's actually really funny. When the day we launched the website, it had been a year to that day that we'd been started the process. So we're even a year in already. So that was kind of, and it was just a coincidence. We didn't plan for that. It was just one of those things. So yeah, we have filmed, the tournament side. So we followed the gamers. They've gone, they've competed, and, we've done that. So what we're now trying to raise is, because at the moment it's being self-funded, I'm actually self-funding the film. So we don't have, obviously, because the problem with independent filming, as soon as you get, finances from elsewhere, you get, obviously people want to put their vision on it. So that's why I've tried to keep this as I guess low budget as possible when it comes to, I don't want to get a company basically. And we have had offers of companies saying, well, we'll give you X amount of money. And that's kind of what I don't want to do. So that's why we've come to Kickstarter. So we're trying to raise, and we already have hit our goal. But the more money we raise, the more content and the more professional the look, because we do have a team that work, and they've worked it. They've got years and years in film and TV. But things that do cost money, that we're trying to raise money. So the whole film, once it's all filmed, we are about, I'd say 30% of the film is already been done. So we still need to finish 70% of the filming, so that the money from Kickstarter will raise to get obviously crew and equipment on set. So that's going to be, that's what part of it's covering. And then after all it's been filmed, we're going to be spending money on obviously getting it edited. We're having the whole film professionally scored. So we have a composer that is going to be writing all the music for it. And then we also have the whole film's going to be color graded. So that will be sent off to an external company, and that basically just, really color grading really helps give, the feel and the kind of atmosphere as well as the music too. And it blends everything together. So you could be shooting on three different types of camera, and if you put raw footage next to each other, you can tell it's different, but then using color grading, it puts everything kind of, so it looks like it all belongs together in the same film. So that's also part of it. And so far we've done amazing on Kickstarter. We've already hit our goal. We hit our goal within the first week. We have over 150 backers already, from all over the world. And the next step is stretch goals, because my goal is to, once it's all made, is to take it to film festivals. And that's where a chunk of the money from Kickstarter will go. Because to go into film festivals, you have to basically pay for entries, and it can range from $20 to $200 depending on the film festivals to enter. So that's another thing. And because I want this to, as many people to see it as possible, film festivals is it's the best outlet for independent film. Because all you have to do is have somebody that sees it and really believes in it, and they could say, I'm going to distribute this worldwide and get it into as many people. And off that, there's just so many avenues, and that's my goal. I want to get this. It's not about for me making the money. It's making an amazing documentary that I would like to see and I'd like to watch because I am interested in it. And I want to get that into as many people's households as possible. So that's kind of why we're going down the film festival route.
So obviously any of my longtime listeners know that I don't have anyone on the show and I don't talk about any product that I don't personally believe in. And the fact that I'm having you here is because I completely love what I've seen for both your Kickstarter project and for the documentary. And I think that you're fully capable of making something amazing. So of course I'm hoping that people who listen to your time here with us are going to go to the Kickstarter and will back it. Why don't we talk a little bit about specifics with the Kickstarter project? I know it's funded, which is great, but stretch goals, like you said, that's a way where a project can really shine. Why don't we talk maybe about the funding levels, what people get at different backer levels, and some of the cool stretch goals and extra perks and things that are pertaining to it.
Okay, yeah, definitely. So we have quite a few number of different rewards. So we have the cheapest one is £5. So that basically is just a massive thank you, and your name will be added to the website as just supporting the project. And then the better ones, obviously, £10, you get a digital download of the film. So that is, you will now receive a 90-minute film, a digital download of it. And because we've hit our first stretch goal, you'll now also get an added 20 minutes of bonus material on top of that. And then you can own a physical copy. So you've got a Blu-ray, a DVD in there. And we also have a special edition box set that comes with both a Blu-ray and DVD. And also comes with a special edition miniature that, for those that know more about the industry, H.G. Wells wrote a book quite a few years ago called Little Wars.
Yes.
And I've had the honor and privilege. I've been speaking to the people that own the license now, because obviously he sadly passed away. I've been speaking to him, and the family have given me permission and to talk about the book in the film, to also use images of him. And one of the things that we spoke to, and they have now given me license to do, is produce a miniature of H.G. Wells as a special edition, like little gift to go with it. So, and then that's really exciting when I got that. So that's kind of the one that I would really say for everyone, because it is a licensed figure. I know a lot of companies have done likenesses of other famous people, but they don't have the license to do it, if that makes sense. They produce it, but this is an official licensed product. So, and it will only be available through the Kickstarter. It will never be produced. I've spoken to them, and they've never given permission for somebody to make a miniature before. So to have that is just amazing. And then you get the higher options. We're going to be doing a kind of Google Hangout. You also get all the ones from now onwards will also include the special edition box set, so everyone's aware. But you have the more expensive ones. We're going to be doing a Google Live Hangout, so you will be, and it's limited, so you will basically be able to come in and we'll just talk. You can just talk to us. It will be me, some of the other crew members, some of the people we're interviewing, so you might be able to have, you know, I won't say who, but we'll have some other people involved, so you can come and just talk and ask questions. And then we have higher ones where you can actually come, and there's only 5 available. You can come to the UK film premiere, and that will be in the Nottingham area. And it's a film premiere, so we're inviting all of the cast and crew. So there'll be people from all over the industry. So if you're really into kind of your miniatures and you want to, gives you a chance to just sit, watch the film. You get to see it before anyone else. You get to see it on the big screen. But not only that, there's going to be an after party where you just stay, you can have drinks, you can talk, it gives you that opportunity where you wouldn't have it anywhere else. Because the only place you get all these people together would be at an event. So yeah. That is, we're inviting pretty much everyone that will be involved in the film. So we don't know who will turn up on the day, obviously, it depends, but we'll make it on a weekend, and that's something you can come to. And then the other one, the highest one, is an exclusive producer. You get everything I've just mentioned, and also you can get to see the film before anyone else. You get to see a rough edit, so that's before it's been color graded. You basically get to see, and you get your input, so you can say, I like this, maybe you should change a little bit. And the other part is you will get interviewed, and part of that interview will make it into the final film. So if you want to be in a feature film that will be seen in film festivals around the world, then you've got your opportunity. So that was just one that I really wanted to give for people that really are as passionate as me. And it's the kind of only opportunity that you'll get that I am aware of. So yeah, so they're the other ones. And now we go into stretch goals. And I'll let you cover kind of where we are at.
Well, I got to say, when I had looked at the project at first, I remember contacting you through Kickstarter, because I was curious if the physical product levels, where like you get either the Blu-ray or the DVD, if they came with the digital download, because it wasn't mentioned. It was a separate backer level. And I'm thinking, well, in this day and age, people want digital downloads, but someone's going to want something that they can hold on to, right? You want that physical commemorative thing. You can say, I get the DVD, I get the Blu-ray of it, and I can pop it into my player and watch it. But you might not be where your player is, and you might want to, you know, you're at a gaming convention, for example, and want to show people who are in your room. You want to say, hey, buddy, you should look at this film that I got. You need to go and you need to back it. You need to buy it and take a peek at it with me, and you pull it up on your computer. And I thought it would be neat to be able to do that. And you gave me this really clever response where you're like, well, I'll just wait and see for those stretch goals there. So I would check every day and be like, I don't see stretch goals. Like some Kickstarter projects, I put all the stretch goals up at first. Some they do a little at a time. And I'd look, and I was waiting and just trying to see what are these stretch goals, which is ingenious on your part, because you got me coming back every single darn day to look at what you got going on here. And I'm like, okay, do you get a stretch goal? Yeah. What is it going to be? And so the fact that the first one's been met, which I know you're going to explain in a moment, but that the second one has been revealed, the second one, this is going to sound odd, I'm even more excited for the second one than I am for the first one, but the first one's an amazing stretch goal. Don't get me wrong. It's just the second one lets me have my cake and eat it too, which is something here in America anyway, we're all about. So why don't you talk about these two stretch goals? And I know that there's going to be more than these two. I don't know. I know you don't want to reveal what they are, but I don't know if you want to reveal how many potential additional stretch goals that might be that people can kind of hope for, and what kind of backing levels you're envisioning for those to get activated.
Yeah. So when I approached the project, because I've used Kickstarter before as for personal use, and part of the thing with Kickstarter is exactly you look forward to what possible goal or unlock you could have. But I didn't want to pull it all out, because you don't get that excitement. You don't build that, okay, well, what's next? Because you don't know, and you get that surprise of what it is. So all I said when the project first went live, and I just said there will be stretch goals. And as soon as we hit 3,000, our pledge goal, you'll see the first stretch goal. And then from there on forwards, each time we hit our stretch goal, you'll see the next stretch goal, but you won't see the one after that. And you won't see that stretch goal until we've hit this previous stretch goal. And yeah, I've done that because it just gives people a bit more, instead of just laying everything out and saying, this is how much. And I guess it's my personal choice. I don't like seeing companies or people putting out, okay, well, I've got a goal for X amount, but I've got 10 stretch goals already lined up here, or all of them. To me, part of it just thinks, well, why don't you just have that as your main goal? So for me, stretch goals really are, it's just an added bonus to help the film and to give back. So the first one that is just being unlocked, because we've hit the goal, we hit it last night, so you will, if you back this project, you will get it now. And that is an additional 20 minutes of extra footage. This is, when I came up with the concept, this is the one thing that I was most excited about, because I'm going to have so much amazing content fitting it into 90 minutes. And there's a reason the film's only going to be 90 minutes, is because of film festivals and doing things with physical copies of DVDs and Blu-rays, shooting at the resolution that I'm shooting at, because I'm shooting everything in 4K. So you've got so much information, putting it onto a physical disc or Blu-ray, you can only hold a certain amount at a certain resolution. So, and that's about 2 hours on a DVD, on a traditional DVD. So 90 minutes, it gives me an hour and a half of the film. That also went in nicely with film festivals, because when you're applying to get in, it's nice to have it at a round number. So you know, including, you either want to have an hour and a half, 2 hours. I knew, because I wanted the added extra, it was going to be an hour and a half. So for film festival purposes. So then having the 20 minutes of content, you know, people are going to want to be able to see extended interviews, and you'll be getting that now. You'll be able to see, part of it will also have kind of the behind the scenes things that you wouldn't see that didn't make it, bloopers and etc. So I really wanted to do that, because me personally, I enjoy those things. When I buy a DVD or I buy a Blu-ray or a special edition, they're the things that I like to watch. So that's what I wanted to give people. So that got hit last night, and today we revealed the first, and you're the first person that's probably now seen it, because it literally just got uploaded about an hour ago. And it has, so if you haven't seen it, go to the website and you scroll down, you can see it. There will be an update. I haven't even been able to get around to give the update out. And I spoke to John about that just before we went on air. We've had a few problems, time restraints, I'll say. But yeah, so the next, goal is actually, there's two rewards. And it's going to be £5,000. That's the next goal. So when we hit £5,000, you will get these goals. And like John was saying, when he emailed me, do you get a digital download when you have a physical copy? Well, you don't. But now, if you hit this goal, you will. So every physical copy of the film will now include a digital copy of the film. And this is for two reasons, exactly like you said. It's nice to be able to have it on your computer so you can go and share it with friends. But also, I know people like a physical copy if they don't have, capabilities to plug their computer into their TV, for example. Now you have both. And if you wanted to gift it to someone, if you just are like, well, okay, well, I've got this digital download, I've got a physical copy, I'm not going to use it, I'll give it to a friend, I'll share it with someone else. So you now basically getting two films for the price of one. But that all goes back to me getting, it's about getting as many people to watch this as possible. And if you're not a war gamer, and I know obviously you're shows for mainly war gamers, but if you're not a war gamer, this film is really, it's going to be about miniature wargaming, but I want it so other people can watch it and really go, you know what, that's cool, maybe I should try this. It doesn't have the stigma of what a lot of people still think that the industry is like, and the hobby's like. And that's kind of the one thing that I really want to, if I can change anything in the film, and people's persona when they watch this. And that's why I'm going to film festivals as well, because people that go to film festivals, I would say maybe I'd be lucky if there's 1% of them are wargamers, but be able to watch this and after watching it say, you know what, I'm going to try that. I'm going to look into that. That's not what I thought it was. And it's not the stereotype what everyone thinks it is. So that was the first one. You get a digital download. And the second perk that is really, really exciting is one of the smaller companies that are involved, Chris, I was speaking to him last week and he wanted to help in some way. So we teamed up together and it is a special edition miniature. and it is a dwarf that you can't buy off his website, and it will basically come with the special edition. So not only are you getting one special edition miniature that's a H.G. Wells, you'll be getting a dwarf. And if you go onto the Kickstarter, you can see the, and it's a hand sculpted out green stuff the traditional way, and it will come in metal. I actually have one somewhere that he sent me. Don't know, it's here somewhere. But yeah, so but you'll be able to see in the update video, you'll be able to see the physical miniature as well. I did bring it and put it here so I can actually show you. But yeah, so that's the next stretch goal. The next ones, I say in my update, I don't want to give too much away about the stretch goals, as I was saying, but I've had a lot of international people contact me about having subtitles. So there will be subtitles. So if English isn't your first language, there is four languages that we will be trying to get the film subtitled into. I can tell you what they'll be. They'll be German, Italian, French, and German, Spanish is the other one. German, Italian, French, and Spanish. And they are the four. The reason they're stretch goals and not is because obviously I don't speak any of those languages fluently. I have to pay somebody to translate them. And that takes time. So, but they will be as stretch goals, and I will include other things, the people that, you know, if you're just happy with it. I didn't want it to be it reliant on just people from those countries to back it. So there will be, including in those subtitles, there will be other added perks as well. So.
One of the things that I was intrigued about was that special limited edition H.G. Wells miniature. Do you happen to know scale or posing, who's going to sculpt it, any of those kind of details? I know that might be of interest to people.
Yeah, so it's going to be 28 mil. 28 mil for me is I think that's the scale where you can get a lot of good detail, and that's kind of, it's for me, and I think people like that. I didn't want to go too much bigger because I like it to be miniature. So it will be 28 mil scale, but it'll probably be roughly 30 mil, because most of them are these days. So yeah.
Heroic 20.
Heroic. Yeah. but yeah, so it's going to be 28 mil. I can't say who's going to sculpt it, because we have three people that have offered to do that. It will be 28 mil. The pose is going to be H.G. Wells holding another miniature. So that is going to be the pose. And who's going to be producing it? I don't know yet. Prodos Games were meant to be producing it, but I'm unsure at the moment. They wanted to know quantities beforehand, so I'm going to do that afterwards. So obviously, because I don't know how many I'm going to have to produce. So it will be an amazing sculpt, and the people that will be working on it that we have in line to do it are amazing sculptors. So, but that was one thing that when we released the Kickstarter, we had an idea in mind. And I didn't want to put out a definite design, because it's not a definite design. It's still in the works, but I can guarantee you it's going to be an amazing piece.
Well, people love a good miniature, and I presume it'll be some sort of metal, and you like that heft in your hand. You can pick it up. You can look at it. It's fun and easy to paint for people who are interested to do that sort of stuff. You can put it on display, you can bring it with you, or use it for a variety of reasons. It's a really cool idea to be able to kind of bring it back in to one of the founding fathers of wargaming, so to speak, and just kind of tie it all in. So you're paying homage to the past, but you're also moving forward with all these cool new technologies and stories and everything, which is really amazing. One thing that I really enjoy about what you're doing is my wife is not a war gamer, and she doesn't necessarily understand, you know, what I do and why. And we've been married for almost 5 years now. And I remember there was this moment after we got married and we were going to be moving into our first apartment. And she was like, okay, so, you know, we need to pack up all our stuffs and everything. And I had still been living at home, and she's like, well, you should pack up any of your gaming stuff you want to bring, because Like, you should bring it so you can game. I just looked at her and I was like, if you only knew how much gaming stuff I had, like, she didn't really comprehend how much space this takes up. Cause when you talk about miniatures, I mean, everything balloons out. It's bigger and bigger. So being able to say, here's a documentary. It's accessible. It kind of explains what I do and it does it in a way that like the every person can just kind of sit and learn something about it. I think it's great. And then you're able to have the story of those two people who are new to wargaming, and that's kind of like just a great analog for the viewer so that like my wife can sit down, she can watch that and she'll be like, oh, that's interesting. And then she's someone, and I know you had said you're into it too, but she loves bloopers, all that extra content on things. And nowadays, I mean, everything streams right online on Netflix or Amazon or whatever, but the downside to streaming is they never give you the special features. And that's why I think things like Blu-ray and DVD are still doing so well, because that's where you get it. You don't get it from a streaming service, but you can get it, you know, like for this film, you can get it in the digital download, get it in the physical thing. So she's someone, if nothing else, I can say, hey, look at this. Here's some funny bloopers and extra stuff. And she'll, that'll draw her in. And I should say for everyone, I keep on saying, oh, you know, my wife's going to look at this and I'm going to do that or whatever. But that's because I backed this project. I believe in it. I put my money where my mouth is. And so I will eventually get a copy of the documentary. And so then I will make her sit down and say, hey, you should watch this and see what you think. But I think having that introductory aspect for it is really going to be helpful, because there's all this talk in the hobby about like the graying of the hobby and wargaming dying out and all that kind of stuff. And I don't believe that's true, but still it's a niche hobby that we might feel like there's a lot of us and there's a lot to talk about. But when you look around in the world and you see all these other things that are going on and the other more mainstream hobbies, so to speak, we're still a small number of people. So to be able to kind of reach out to that through like the film festivals and everything, I think it's a great way to go. And just me personally, I think that it's even more valuable to your project here, not so much for the money, but just for spreading the word about it and reaching, like you said, as many people as possible and kind of introducing it to people. This could be the gateway for many, many people to learn and discover the joys of wargaming. And I think that's a fantastic thing.
Yeah. And that's kind of, that's one thing that I really want to, because I love this industry and I love this hobby and I have for many, many years. And I do think what stops a lot of people coming into it is the stigma still. I really believe, because I don't care who you are. If you could live anywhere in the world, and if somebody gives you a nice weighted miniature that's really well painted and puts it in your hand, you are not going to be like, wow. Like, and it doesn't matter if you're into it. It doesn't matter what you do for a job. And you could, if you have some of the best sculptors and the best painters work together to do this thing, it doesn't matter. You can be anywhere and this, you will still be amazed by it. And I think the reason that this industry suffers sometimes is because of the stigma. And I think if people looked at something like this, it could help. It really could help break down those walls that are still there, and it's just not the case. Obviously everyone's got its stereotypes, and you know, there is, and it doesn't matter what you're doing, there'll still be stereotypes. But from what I've learned from this industry, I would say 90% of the people that I know are not in that bracket, they're not in that stigma. They have very, very good jobs you wouldn't know. And I've spoken to many people that I wouldn't have met because if it wasn't for wargaming, you know, just our social structure is completely different. So I wouldn't meet them, but because of this hobby, and you meet people that you wouldn't normally meet from different lifestyles, and you come together because of this amazing kind of thing that you both enjoy doing.
It's interesting that you say that, actually, because here in New England, there's a strong presence of independent gaming stores, ones that are not like an official, say, GW store, an official Battlefront or whatever. They're just, you know, tried and true. Someone decides they want to start up a store. And one of the beauties of it that doesn't necessarily happen elsewhere is we have the space where you can play games there in the store. A lot of them have lots of table space that you can play. So there's one that has been local to me, and all of my friends have come from my going to that store, from meeting one person in college and then going there and then meeting all these other people, the best man at my wedding, everyone. And it's a result of having spent time there from this hobby and just getting to know all these different people who I would never have met otherwise and learning more about them and having this common ground, but being able to use that as a springboard to really talk about other things that are important and are interesting to us. So it makes it really interesting when I look at something like War Game Soldiers and Strategy has done their Great Wargaming Survey again. And a question on there is like, what is the most important aspect of the hobby to you? And for me, it's always that social aspect, which is funny because I'm an introvert. I'm not supposed to get pumped up by spending time with all these other people, but it's the fact not about the game so much, but about spending that time with these other people. And it really, it's that icebreaker that sometimes you just need. So you can have this, well, I need a roll whatever to do this or that, and I want to move my guys here, or the tank does that and stuff. But it's really about getting to know your fellow gamer and getting to know them through that lens of having this common ground known as wargaming, but really to form those bonds with one another. And it when it happens, it's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I was speaking on another show, and we were talking about how the internet has built this amazing community. So, because it's not just about, this hobby isn't just about gaming. And I would say probably only 10% of my love of this industry is actually gaming related. Everything else is you build this community and things like Facebook and everything, you have these amazing forums and these platforms now where if you want to and you want to see the newest releases, or if you just want some information, if you don't understand a rule set, and you can ask someone. I play a lot of bolt action personally. So, you know, if you don't know, I play German. So if I don't know what camo pattern my Fallschirmjäger should have, I can just speak to someone and they know. And it really has built this amazing community that isn't just about picking up models and pushing them around. It's now become a lifestyle of, okay, if I've got some free time, even if you're on the way to work, you'll be on Facebook and you just see someone posts a picture of a tank, and you know, you still have that hobby side. And that's really interesting for me, to see kind of, and that has been a big change in the industry. And I think it's becoming a lot more positive. And I think with all these things like the internet and, Geek Chic being now cool and all those things coming in, it's really changed, and a lot more people, you look at the board game industry, that's gone huge in the last 5 years, and it's just another introduction into, okay, well, I push, zombie side models around. Well, okay, well, that's a small little introduction. It's a board game, and now I can go into miniatures. Maybe, oh, I enjoy painting these, and there's a lot more different aspects. And I think kind of this documentary personally has come at a perfect time of you get to finally see the shift. And we get to see it firsthand. So I just think it's amazing. And 20 years ago, you wouldn't have it. You would only know the people if you could go and find a local store, and you might be able to get a game in. So it was a lot harder, but now it's obviously changed massively. And it's a constant, it's an everyday, you have it in your life.
You're right, and it's really interesting, I think, how the internet has been able to break down some of the distances for wargamers. For example, when I wanted to get into historical wargaming, which is really how I spend most of my wargaming time now, when I play games, it's historical, not so much any of the sci-fi or the fantasy stuff. Then former co-host of the show was like, oh, you know, you should get into this game called Black Powder. I think you'd like it, and you should like pick up the rule book and decide what you want to do and get into it. And so I was like, okay. So I got the rule book, and then I was like, what the heck do I do from here? And I was so confused that the only person I could think of that I should contact was Henry Hyde, who at the time I was talking with to get him to come on and be a guest. And so God bless Henry. I sent him this really long, very detailed email that basically was like, what the heck do I do? I'm lost. Please help. And to his credit, this was like in the early days of us getting to know one another. Here he is, this established magazine editor who has contacts and friends, like big names in the industry. And this random guy from Massachusetts sends him this email that's as long as the Magna Carta. And he's like, okay. And so he replies, and if it wasn't for Henry, I wouldn't be doing historical wargaming. If he hadn't taken the time to reply and say, you should look here and check out this website and look at that, and just to share those resources. And that's something that wouldn't be able to have happened if it wasn't for the internet. And then of course, because of that, being able to reach out with some of these other people, I'm still flabbergasted that I'm connected on social media, with like these amazing people, Alessio Cavatore, and just tons of these amazing game designers all over the place. It's really cool to be able to see what they're working on, and not just what they're working on, but I mean, they share what's going on in their lives. So you feel like you get to know them better. There was one point I had ordered online some of the Perry Miniatures, American War of Independence, metal figures. I'm passionate about the Revolutionary War here. And so I had ordered some because my local game store didn't have what I wanted. And when the models came, they actually didn't have the right models in there. It was all but one of them was right. And so I contacted the place I ordered from, and they're like, well, this is how they are and I can't do anything for you. And for whatever reason, I decided I should contact Perry Miniatures directly and just see what they know about it. Maybe it's a manufacturing error. And again, without the internet, couldn't have happened. I have the email here in front of me. I got a response from Alan Perry himself, and I was like, wait, what? Is it really him? I've seen him in magazines, and I have stuff he's made, but is he really personally responding to my email about? And it was. And I was like, wait a sec. It's just that awe moment. And again, like, if you look back without these great technological advancements, could I have written the letter and looked up the mailing address and stuff? And I could have, you know, in those old dark ages, and probably could have got a response back, but it would have taken forever for any of this. And maybe I wouldn't have gone through the effort of doing it. It's so easy now that you can have these just wonderful relationships and contacts with all of these amazing people. And it's because of just these cool new things that we're able to do. Heck, I mean, this show, you and I, we wouldn't be talking 15 years ago.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's why this is like really, really important. And obviously, there's so many things that even if you want to watch a video, if you haven't, years ago, I remember when I first got into Warhammer, it was very hard to kind of understand. And if you didn't understand the rules, you could go into the shop and they might be able to explain it, but it was a lot hard. But now you can just go onto the internet and type in, and you can find videos, and or you can join a forum and you can speak to people like as you speak normally, and you can get response straight away. And I think that has helped so much. And because of it, I really do think it's made the industry a lot better and a lot stronger. Because like you said, years ago, you might be able to, you'd get your monthly magazine, and that would pretty much be it for your kind of knowledge or what's coming out soon, unless you went to the shop. But now every day you can see what people are working on. And with social media, I think a lot of companies have become a lot more open. I know obviously like the Perrys, like you mentioned, and Warlord and, Prodos and all these companies now, as they're working on things, they'll upload onto their social media and they'll share what they're working on. So you get to see more of the behind the scenes than you would have 10 years ago. So I think that's really interesting.
Well, and I think it's helpful too for the companies, because I'm friends with a bunch of game designers, and I know they get a real kick out of it when they see like a YouTube video where someone's playing their game or something that they made, and they're seeing how the people are using it. And maybe it's not how they intended it to be used, but they see what someone's doing and this new creative, inventive way of doing it, and they're able to take that and get that really cool customer feedback that's not necessarily as intended as a, like, your product is great or I hate what you did. It's just observing how people are playing, and then I think it helps them to make their games and everything better. And then in turn, it's helping us. So it's this really cool dichotomy that exists that maybe people aren't necessarily aware of when they're, you know, putting a blog post out there or doing a YouTube video or posting in a forum, whatever, who's looking at it. Because oftentimes some of these individuals, they're not using their real information if they're with company XYZ, but they're there and they're reading, even if they don't post or even if they're not commenting. but they see what's going on and they're absorbing all of it. And at the end of the day, they're no different from you and I because they're passionate about this hobby too. They want to play the games. They're interested in all of it. So it's cool how we're able to communicate in that way.
Yeah, definitely. And you've hit the nail on the head with people now. It's so much easier for people to get a better understanding and produce a better game now than what it was 20 years ago. Because you have that instant feedback. You can post a video or you can do something and you can get that instant feedback so you know what people like, what people don't like, what is working for you, what isn't. And I think a lot of the newer companies have really taken that on board, and their kind of structure and how they release rule sets and has changed completely from what it would have been 20 years ago. And I think we've made a lot better games and produced better miniatures than what we would have if they didn't have this instant feedback from their customers. And at the end of the day, they're in business to make the customers happy, because by making them happy and producing good things, obviously they're going to have a successful company. So I really think that has helped this industry, and it's making, because of it, you now have so many amazing companies and so many amazing sculptors and painters and people that you wouldn't have seen because they don't work for a company. Like, I see some of the most amazing artwork from people that aren't professionals or don't work, but they're just hobbyists and they really, really enjoy it. So that's kind of what I think is really interesting, where you see conversions, you see people that are just sculpting at home and don't actually do it. They just do it for fun. They do it for themselves, and you get to see these amazing things that you wouldn't have seen ever before without the internet.
It's kind of neat, because when you do see that, some of those people, they end up with their own kind of following from other people like you and I, who they're seeing this and they're thinking, oh, I can't wait for them to do the next whatever. And meanwhile, that person's just, I wanted to do this for a game. They do the next thing and they post it on their blog or on Facebook, and it gets like 500 likes. Because people are like, that's really cool. Or you did a great job with the dry brush in there and the shading and this and that. And I love how there's so much divisiveness in wargaming and a lot of discussions about what rules mean and everything. But at the same time, what I think is often overlooked is how much cohesiveness there is and how much we come together and how it's actually bringing us closer as a society, I think. And when we understand one another better, especially across these great distances and from all over the world, I think it just helps us and bleeds out into all these other areas. It trickles down and just helps us to understand and make things better in other areas for everyone, which is, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so I think it's amazing, and obviously that's kind of one of the reasons why we're here and we're talking about the documentary. So is because I have a love for this industry, and that's what I want to share with kind of everyone else. And I want to obviously let your listeners know that this, if you haven't backed yet and you thinking that you shouldn't, you might not be interested, well, there will be, once the Kickstarter is finished, there's certain things that you won't be able to get, like you won't be able to, and your money by backing the Kickstarter now is going, everything raised is going straight back into the film. So the more we raise now, the better film that can be produced, and the more content and the more worldwide reach that we can have, we can travel to more countries than what we would if we only had a small amount. And we can enter into more film festivals than what we would if we had a smaller amount. So that's kind of, if I can get anything across, would be to, you know, come and have a look at the Kickstarter, watch the video, see exactly what it's about. And if you're not sold on it, I don't know what else to say. because if you're into this industry and you're into your hobbying, this is something that is a must to see, and it will be spoken about by the industry like it already has, because it is a big deal. And some people might think it's maybe, you know, why is it getting, why are people talking about it? It's because I spoke to Henry about this, and he was so relieved and so thankful that it's taken how many years that he's been in the war, it's somebody to take this serious and realize that there is a subject matter that is interesting. And it really is, like, some of the people when I went and spoke to Alan Perry, some of the stories that he has are just absolutely amazing. Some of the things that he's done that he would have never done if it wasn't for miniatures. And these are all things that you can learn that you would have never known. And if it wasn't for us doing this documentary, I know from speaking to a lot of them, they wouldn't share this because there's no platform to ever have done it before. So if I can kind of, you know, sell the Kickstarter, that's kind of, I really hope people can, after listening to this, go and just check it out, see what it's all about and get involved, because there's special miniatures that you wouldn't be able to get otherwise. And we're only got 14 days left and it finishes on the 6th of December. So that's my plug.
I think there's a reason why it took less than a week for it to raise £3,000, which was its goal, why it's fully funded, why so many individuals are talking about it, right? It's blown up Wargaming social media all over the place. And it's because people know that this is not only going to be interesting and exciting and fun, but that it's quality, that you will regret if you don't support it and if you don't participate in this. So I got to say, I just want to echo that if you haven't backed it, back it. Even if it's only for $5, I think you're going to wish that you had backed it for, you know, the physical film, whether it's a DVD or a Blu-ray. You're going to wish that you had gotten that really exclusive miniature there, the H.G. Wells one. But not everyone can afford all those, but you got to support this film because this is amazing. And down the road, you're going to say, you know, I wish I had gotten those really cool Kickstarter exclusives. There are Kickstarter projects out there and there's tons of them, and some are really good, some are really bad, some have issues. This has nothing but wonderful things happening with it. And it's not often that I gush about, well, that's not necessarily true, but it's not often that I gush like this about something. And I'm telling you that you need to support this film because, well, you need to, first of all. And if you ever learned to trust me by now after almost a decade of doing this with all of you, then I don't know, but really you got to put your support behind it, because at the end of the day, when the documentary comes out and you get your finished copy of the film, you're going to sit down with a pint and or a cup of coffee or something, and you're going to sit on your couch and you're going to lower the lights and put on the movie, and you're going to say, yeah, do you know what? I did the right thing. And you'll be able to have it for all these years to come, so that, you know, you can share it with your friends or your children if you have kids, and you can say, you know, this is what mom really was into. This is what dad was really into. Maybe you want to give it a try, and it's something you're passionate about. How many times in our lifetimes have we seen this happen? Never. So this is perhaps a once in a lifetime chance for you to be able to do that. And that doesn't happen every day. And you can support it for a variety of amounts. But like you said, Joe, for as little as $8 American, £5 gets you in to support it. And you can start getting the really cool rewards for a little bit more than that. So I will have links in the show notes, which I mentioned at the top of the episode. But I'll link to the Kickstarter so you can support it and all that kind of stuff. And I strongly, strongly encourage everyone to support it as much as you can and just get involved with this. There's a lot of people who have supported it, just about almost 160 people so far. But there's a lot more of us wargamers out there, and you can find a few bucks. You can go without picking up your Starbucks or your Dunkin' Donuts coffee for a couple of days so that you can help make this become true and be a reality. Jero, are there any other ways that you'd like to share for people to stay up to date with the project and what you're doing and any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, definitely. So not only with the Kickstarter, are you obviously backing the project, and obviously the more money we raise, the better we can, the better film that we can produce and the more content we can have. But by the smallest amount, you get into the access of the behind the scenes. So, and you won't be able to get this. There will be exclusive videos of as the film is being made. So, production stuff, you know, us going behind the scenes, sitting down, getting ready, doing interviews, all those things that you're going to get, and you're going to stay up to date with, exclusive, exactly what we're doing, where we are, where we're filming, who we're filming with. And so you're going to get, even if you back for the lowest reward, you're going to get all these things. So you're not just, not only are you obviously helping, supporting, you're getting more information. And if you're into miniatures, you know, there's going to be things that you wouldn't be able to see. How often do you get to see behind the sets on any film, or even where you can go into the lives and, you know, see behind the scenes of a lot of the people that we are going to interview. So that's kind of what if you have any kind of inkling into the industry, please, you know, help back. And even if you want to encourage people, and you have friends and you have family that exactly what John was saying, that don't really understand your hobby, or you want somebody to start playing with you, you can say, okay, well, I bought this, watch this, and that's what it's all about. And, you know, I'm sure it will help encourage people more into the industry. So if you're looking for a new gaming partner, that's a really good kind of introduction into it. So these are all things. We have the website up. We're on Facebook. You're on Twitter. You can stay up to date with all the things. If you come over to our Facebook, we have so many giveaways every kind of, at least every 2 weeks, or we try to do one a week. We do a giveaway. One of the companies that we have on board will give us an amazing, and we've had some amazing prizes. Warlord Games just gave us their brand new Beyond the Gates of Antari starter set to give away. Wild West Exodus gave us like $120 starter set, 2-player starter set. So come over, you can like, you can share, and you can just enter in these competitions just by being liked on the page. And also, if you want more information about the film, more information about the crew that are making it, the special interviews, upcoming events, so, you know, where we'll be shooting. That's all on the website. So, and we keep that up to date. We have a blog that we try to do a weekly blog update. And that is not only about the film, but it's other people that are related to the film. So we're going to have like guest bloggers where they just come and just talk about whatever they want. So we have Matt and Adam that have already done once, two of the guys that we're following. They talk about their experience filming it, stuff like that. And we also have the crew that be working on it. So there's so much content. It's not just producing this amazing film. We're giving a platform where people can go. We have a blog, you know, people can comment, people can talk. People can talk about their hobby, so there's so much there. It's not just producing this film, but producing everything for the community. So yeah, just come on over, have a look, and stay up to date with everything.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you for spending this time with us here. I know you are incredibly busy with just all sorts of stuff. Friends of mine who've done Kickstarters have basically said that Kickstarter became their full-time job until the project was done and everyone got this film. So I really appreciate you spending this time with us here to do this live recording of Wargaming Recon. And of course, the episode goes out. It's for our audio at a later date. And if people listening to this, well, you already got it, so that's great. And just thank you again for taking the time to be with us. This has been so much fun. I've been looking forward to this interview ever since we set it up, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. And thank you for those that have listened to me ramble on about this amazing film that I'm going to make.
So that was the interview with director Joseph Piddington of Miniature Wargaming The Movie, which is just simply an amazing documentary. I can't wait for it to come out. And I know I said it during the interview, but I really think that you should take the time to back it on Kickstarter. As Joe said, there's all sorts of amazing rewards and Kickstarter exclusives. I can tell you, originally, I wanted to make sure that I had a digital copy of it. So before I knew about that stretch goal, I had backed it for the digital copy level. But I've actually raised my backer level because of the recording with Joe. And I'm backing it for a physical copy as well. I got a Blu-ray player, and knowing that they're going to shoot it in 4K means that the video quality will be the highest of the high quality that you can get. So if you watch a YouTube video and it says like HD and it's really fancy 1080p and really high quality, like you can see the pores on their skin, right? Like almost not gross like that. That's like what you can get. And it just shows even better on Blu-ray, but even on DVD, DVD costs just $23 American. It's £15, and a Blu-ray is $38 American. And then you get the digital download. So I've raised my backer level on that. But I also just wanted to make sure that I said a couple other things that I wanted to, but I didn't want to take up time in the interview for it because I really wanted to spend all that interview time with Joe about the documentary, because it's an amazing product. And I think that this will be just fantastic for people, and knowing that he's working on it and having seen that Kickstarter video, you're able to kind of tell what sort of quality is going to be in there. But like I said, of course, he's extremely busy. I mean, as we all are, but Kickstarter is like a full-time job if you're doing. So I didn't want to take more of his time for him to sit and listen while I do like the rest of the show that he didn't have to be here for. So I just wanted to let everyone know how things went with the 24-hour Gamerthon, the Extra Life 24-hour Gamerthon to benefit Boston Children's Hospital. I don't usually I do a whole episode on this, and I'll probably do extra content to kind of carry over when the podcast season for 2015 ends and I take those couple weeks off. But basically, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone. Money is still coming in, and you can still make a donation if you so choose. WarGamingRecon.com/charity. But I've raised over $550 American because of the help of people like you. And that doesn't even count, actually, the money from that eBay charity auction, the Battlegate Limited Edition Battle Games Combat Stress Appeal Model World War One Honor Guard Tommy. It was painted by listener Dave of the War Games at Battleshades Facebook group, and after the cost of shipping, it raised over $30 American for $30.33, I think, something like that. So I am incredibly appreciative to the winner for that, and I'm going to keep his name private just in case they didn't want it made public or anything, but thank you so much for bidding and for winning, and I hope you thoroughly enjoyed it. I told Dave actually that I was tempted to just make a sizable donation and keep it for myself instead of putting it on eBay because I loved it. It looks great. I have an unpainted one. I bought one way back from Henry Hyde to help raise money for combat stress. And of course it was unpainted and everything. And I was like, maybe I should just have someone paint it because it's a great model, beautifully sculpted. And the way that Dave painted this is, it's beautiful. So congratulations to you for winning. And then I just want to say, for our mailbag section, it's not so much feedback as a thank you I want to give. The Earth Station One podcast had posted on one of our YouTube videos that they aired a promo for Wargaming Recon, and they put it in their episode 255. So thank you, Earth Station One, and any one of you who are listening to Wargaming Recon because you found out about us by listening to Earth Station One. So I'll have a link, of course, to that in the show notes as well. And then I just want to, again, thank our sponsor. I know I spent a chunk of the interview with Joe talking about the importance of being independent and everything. And we are. Wargaming Recon is not biased because of our sponsorships. And that's something I make clear with anyone who, any company or entity who wishes to sponsor the show, is that you don't get editorial control over what happens here. But also, Wargaming Recon wouldn't be able to exist if it wasn't for the very kind and generous people in the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. And these people, they are amazing. They're just a group of fantastic individuals. And it's a pleasure to know as many of them as I do. And they put on Huzzah up in Portland, Maine. It's an amazing convention. I've talked about it over and over and over and over again, so I won't spend time talking about it again other than to say, don't forget. And I know it's a ways away, but Huzzah for 2016 is May 13th to the 16th. I'll be there. I'll be doing a live recording and I'll be playing games. And so you can play some stuff with me and just have some fun. And then of course, I also couldn't do the show if it wasn't for people who support me on Patreon. So I want to thank my Patreon backers. A big thank you to Dave in the War Games at Battleshades Facebook group, and also to Jamie at Drake Pole Dragon on Twitter. It might not seem like much, cause backer levels start at like $1 an episode, I think it is. And I'm really excited about two specific backer levels. There's the $3 an episode, backer level, which is cool because that one gets your name, gets you thanked by name in every episode in which you back. And the dollar one is like, it's kind of like a tip jar. You're saying like, thanks for what you do and have fun. But that $3 level I think is great because it's a chance for me to thank you by name in an episode so you can listen and you can hear that I'm like, hey, thank you so-and-so. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Dave. And so I think those are really cool backer levels. But also on top of that, there's two backer levels that are newer that I'm really excited about. And so if you back at $5 or more per episode every single month, so that's 12 times a year, every single month, you'll get an exclusive Wargaming Recon postcard mailed to you. It has the cool logo on it. And if you're watching the YouTube video, you can see the cool logo. And then on the back, I write a personalized message to you. It could be like, cause we're coming up to Thanksgiving here in the US, it could be like, I don't know, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving and spending time with your friends and family. And or I might share about something cool that I'm doing here on some stuff that maybe doesn't make it into a podcast episode or on social media, some of that kind of cool stuff. So that's $5 or more an episode. And like I said, every month I ship it to you anywhere in the world. I will mail that. And it's cool. You get something in the mail in this day and age. I don't know about you, but most of the stuff that comes in the mail is either junk or bills. So it's nice to get something cool in the mail that's not a piece of trash. And then the other one is if you back for $8 or more an episode, and this is limited to 10 individuals. And if this does well, I'll try to expand it afterwards. But you get an exclusive Wargaming Recon. That's right, Wargaming Recon measuring tape. Bam. So you can go, and when you play the game, you just whip it out. It measures for you. You don't have to worry. And you can be like, hey, look, this is a podcast I listen to that I like. And it's small enough. It just fits in your pocket. So that way you never have to worry about not having measuring tape with you when you're gaming. I don't know about you, but every single time I pack measuring tape, I'm always losing it, and it's not there. I go through so many of them from like the hardware store, or I bought like GW ones at one point and stuff. I never have them. Partly because they're so big and rugged that like I lose them, or they get lost in the bag, or I forget to pack it. But the Wargaming Recon one, it's small enough that it literally fits in your pocket. It's nice and thin, and but it's large enough that you can use it. So like I said, if you back for $8 or more an episode, you will get one of those, and I will mail it to you anywhere in the world. And you only get it the one time. So you might think, well, why am I going to back at $8 more every time? But you do it, you're going to get this. And then, of course, you know that by backing at it, you're not backing to get this. You're backing because this is a cool thing to have, but also because you're going to support me and help me to do all these really cool things. I have these awesome goals on the side, and milestones that I'm hoping to reach through Patreon and allow me to make the show better for you and add extra content and just make it a more enjoyable experience for you. And that's happens by just backing at those cool different levels. So thank you to everyone who does support me on Patreon. And I do want to remind you that I did say for this month, the month of November, I was going to donate a portion of the money that I get from Patreon back to that Extra Life charity to help kids who are suffering from really awful diseases like cystic fibrosis and cancer. And so a portion of what you sponsor me at on Patreon will then be given to help those kids because they need treatments and some of their families can't afford to pay. And if they can't afford to pay, why should the kids suffer? So this charity pays for those treatments and things that they need, helps keep them alive. And it's made possible because of generosity from people like you. So support me on Patreon or raise your backer level for this month and lower it for a later month if you want, but raise it, right? Because I want to donate a portion of the money that comes in from Patreon. It's going to be a good amount too. And that's going to go and help out. So I just want to remind everyone how appreciative I am that you've taken the time to listen to this episode. I really do hope that you will go and you'll support Miniature Wargaming, the movie, that great documentary that Joe is doing. And then I want to remind you too about the episode guide. The episode guide is really cool because you can go to it and it tells you about the stuff that's coming up. And I know you're thinking, well, this is near the end of your podcast season. So how much stuff is it going to be? Well, there's the episode you're listening to now. And then on December 7th, there's another episode where I'm going to look back on 2015 and talk about things and probably spend a little more time on the Extra Life Gamerthon about games I played and that kind of stuff. And then I go on break. The break is helpful because it kind of allows me time to decompress and spend time with my family and rejuvenate myself and also to help get things in place for the next podcast season without having to think, oh, I gotta make sure that I go and I record an episode and that I do the editing and this, that I can really devote myself to putting things in place and getting guests all set up for the next podcast season for 2016. But don't worry, because while I'm on break, you're still going to get content. So there'll be an episode on December 21st, 2015, and an episode on January 4th, 2016. And those will be best of episodes. I'll pull them from this season. I'll spruce them up a little bit and add a little extra content into it, maybe commentary about some stuff or extra things that didn't quite make it into an episode. And so you'll be able to have that. And then the 2016 podcast season will begin with episode 150, and that'll be released on January 18th. So there's one more new episode planned for this year, December 7th. And then I go on break, and there'll be those two best of episodes, December 21st and January 4th. Then a new episode to kick off the 2016 podcast season will come out on January 18th. So that's about all I have here for you. Don't forget the show notes for this episode, because Joe talked about all sorts of cool stuff, and we'll have links to the Kickstarter and the really important things that he talked about and things that I've covered as well. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR148. So thank you again for taking the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. As always, you know the drill. No matter how many things you get going on in your life, how busy you are, how many wargaming documentaries you want to watch, you have to, you need to, you gotta keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Are you a wargamer and want to know what to do when you're an Australian wargamer? Then you need to tune into the Hobby Desk for Australian wargamers. This is a member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network, and we're here to give you the best possible things that Australian wargamers can give to you, the listeners. And I hope you enjoy what we do, because guess what? It's coming more and more often and more awesome for you who listen to the Hobby Desk on the Troll in the Corner podcast network.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016, at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.